time for a little hockey talkie. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Well, there we go. From Blue Jay baseball to Toronto Maple Leaf hockey, we welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. The game ended a little while ago at Scotiabank Arena. It's pretty spirited. 3-1 win, the last goal being an empty netter for the Tampa Bay Lightning over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Only one more game remaining this Saturday. Leafs will be in Montreal against the Canadiens. Of course, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What, lights bugging you? Everything
okay? All this lighting right now? I feel like I'm in a movie.
Well, there were going to be a photo shoot later on. I didn't know if you knew that. Yeah.
This is radio, guys. We don't need this lighting.
Yeah. Well, this is TV lighting. This is good. Don't worry. Oh, here, Scott MacArthur's going to handle
Does
it.
Does he have a trick?
Well, you know what? Is that a tanning salon?
He's getting his phone.
His phone. He's got good color in it. So I thought it's a tanning bed here, but no, we'll figure it out. We got to talk about the Leaf game. Catch up. Mike Babcock will hear from the Maple Leaf head coach. We'll hear from many of the players involved in tonight's game. We're going to get to Chris Johnson is going to join us shortly. And Savvy, just a quick walk to the subway, because Chris is going to join us for the walk to the subway. But all in all, I mean, you don't score a lot of goals. Tampa Bay is a great team, but not a bad game.
It was a high intensity, fast hockey game. This is what playoff hockey is going to be. So it was a nice preparation for the Leafs getting ready, although missing two key cogs tonight in Muzzin and Kadri, and we'll get more into that. But again, a good game for the Leafs to be in pre-Boston, pre-playoffs, an exciting one for the fans. And Freddie looked good. The team looked pretty good. They just couldn't get a couple goals past Vasilevsky, which has been their story against the Tampa Bay Lightning this year.
Well, that's still the best game of goal we saw, that one game that he played. There you go. Get the lighting down. This is good.
Okay, this is
do you want a trailer or anything like that? You're like a diva now.
I like that.
Yeah, makeup.
I'm high maintenance. Okay, My wife says I'm high maintenance.
Well, by the way, we should let everybody know, Mark Savard's son is going to be drafted in the OHL draft Saturday. So you are a parent on pins and needles.
I'm tight. I didn't think I'd ever get this way. And you know, I wasn't one of those parents that went down to the coach and gave him a slap because my son wasn't playing. But I'm tight. I'm not going to lie. And I know he's going to get drafted. Where he gets drafted, I don't know. I'm hoping anywhere from the third round to maybe the sixth round in there. And, you know, we got a couple key teams we'd like him to join. But he'll play for anybody, and I'm just excited. It's an exciting time. Saturday at 9 a.m., yeah. I'll be glued to the computer screen.
Internet, if you can work it. Yeah,
we do it on computer now. Yeah. Everything's computer.
I know. Anyway, we'll talk more about that later on, and we'll chat about that as far as that goes. The Leafs, okay, the walk to the subway, the Toronto Maple Leafs, Tampa Bay Lightning. Again, 2-1, really 3-1 with the empty netter. And on the one side, we mentioned Andre Vasilevsky. On the Toronto Maple Leafs side, and this is a couple back-to-back nice wins, including the clinching one the other night against Long Island for Freddie Anderson, with, you know, Garrett Sparks unfortunately having the uneven outings the last couple of games. Freddie has had a couple of solid ones.
Yeah, he's played well, and it's nice to see at this time of year, you know, him gearing up for the playoffs. You know, tonight he made, a decent amount of saves here. He made 26 saves on the night out of 29 shots, I believe my master. No, because he wasn't on for the empty netter house, so he made...
Yeah, so there'd be like 26 out of 28 is right.
Yeah,
you had it right.
Yeah, but yeah, okay.
Good job.
But anyways, yeah, my math gets better all year. It's gotten better.
It's
gotten
stronger. Well, it's
tax
time, yeah.
Yeah, that's the truth. But anyway, because hey, we all know this. Hey, we're going to play Boston. I'm on the Leafs
now.
Okay. Is that okay. People at home
love
hearing that?
It's Leafs Nation postgame. They
people
understand the context.
People at home love hearing that. But anyways, we're going to play the Leafs. I'm going to say it again. If Freddie's not spectacular, they're not going to get by Boston. And that's just me being honest. And I'm a Boston fan and I'm a Leaf fan. I'm broken right down the middle, Gord. Whoever wins, I'm going to ride that team. Whoever loses, you know, unfortunately they lose. But whoever goes on, I'm going to be happy for that team and I'm going to cheer for them the rest of the way.
So you got a lot of pressure now. You got your son being drafted Saturday. You got the Bruins, Leafs 2 years in a row. The two teams you have the strongest allegiance to going at it in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So when you talk about tonight being a good playoff tune-up, being a nice playoff-ready game, what exactly is what struck you?
Just speed, the intensity, it steps up another level come playoff time. These guys can feel it. Don't kid yourselves. They know what's around the corner. They know playoffs are coming and they're ready. They want to ditch this season. If you ask anybody, they like to gas the last game and just get on with it because These boys are ready. It's another level, Gord. It's tough to explain. You can even feel it in the building. You know that.
Yeah.
At playoff time, it's just the aura in the building. It's such a special
time. It's a wonderful vibe.
It is a great vibe. And imagine I played for Boston to play Montreal in those series. I mean, there is some great rivalries in sports. And I hate to step out and say that that is one of the best rivalries, not only in hockey, but in pro sports, Montreal-Boston. It just has an aura to it. When you go into either building, there's fights in the crowds. There, you can't use the other team's bathroom when you're on the road.
Well, as a fan. Yeah.
They let me, but you
got to be careful.
As a fan, you got to be real careful.
I still think a couple of years ago, you remember when the Washington Capitals eliminated the Leafs and they had the big thing down at, you know, the big screen down there at Leaf Nation. You know, what they call Maple Leaf Square.
Yeah,
outside what was then Air Canada Center, which is now Scotiabank Arena. And do you remember there were like two, but they were young women wearing Washington Capitol jerseys? Like, I mean, just right in the middle. And obviously a Leaf crowd was nice about it, but that's where a lot of other places.
That would not be a good go-over.
And if you're a couple slugs like you and I, like, you know, you're just asking for trouble as far as that. But under those circumstances, it was the fun.
Slugs like you and I. Like, easy.
Yeah, no, but that's going to be a positive thing. There's
You're like a multi-sport athlete, Dion Sanders, now you're
that's true
all over, you know, calling us slugs. Like, just because I only play golf now, does that mean I'm a slug?
No. You played tennis once too. We did all that stuff. I still got the mark,
and I hit you in the back. That, I gave you a that. Tattoo in the back of the neck first serve.
It was good. It got me awake and kept me in the game. Like the Leafs played tonight. I mean, it's you know, it's one of those games. Only one goal. There were a lot of chances they tried to create. It was fun. It was a fun game to watch.
It really was. It had our attention, and we haven't seen a lot of games that have meant really anything. I mean, they clinched against the Islanders, and that was an intriguing game. Tavares back in New York for the second time and gets the game-winning goal, gets his 46th of the year that night, and so on and so on. So there's a lot of nice storylines. And then Mike Babcock said it best, Carolina, like, you're only human. You just clinched your playoff spot. Carolina's fighting to get in the playoffs. You have a downer game. It's just human. And then tonight, they brought it again, Gord. Even though they're missing Kadri, who's going to play an instrumental role in the playoffs, and Muzzin, they still played hard, had opportunities to win this game. But again, Vasilevsky shut the door and the Leafs lose. But good signs moving forward. I think they're going to want to try and get that last win. Now Montreal is basically done.
Oh, Montreal. I'll go over the out-of-town scores in a second about what all happened there. But the other part is, probably wasn't used to it, getting an ovation. Jake Gardner. And then having a real tough first shift. He had a real tough first shift after getting the ovation. But all in all, beyond that shift, what did you think?
I'm going to relate to that shift again. For fans that haven't seen it yet, the puck gets snapped back to him literally off the draw. First draw of the game, right on his tape. He tries to throw it right back up the middle. Hits a guy's foot, goes in his feet. He beats it up a couple more times. But he was all happy and laughing on the bench there. At least he got a couple touches in on his first shift, and I'm sure we'll hear from him. But, oh, no, they're going to need Jake Gardner moving forward. Callie Rosen, how about him late in the game, Gord? Out there to try and score a goal, down 2-1. And that's probably maybe because Muzzin's out, Gardner's not fresh. So he gave Rosen an opportunity, an offensive guy, which was a nice,
nice play keeping the puck in.
He lost his balance. He thought, oh, no, and he made a nice little backhand sauce play. So good for Callie Rosen to get in some key times.
It seems like now he's been identified being ahead of Marinson, ahead of Ozaganov, and ahead of Justin Hall right now. So, I mean, at least, you know, depth-wise, there's an upgrade there. And you can argue, I know Justin Hall, there's a feeling there that he hasn't got enough time to prove himself or whatever, but at least Callie Rosen's a bit of an upgrade compared to what was there before when you have injuries.
Exactly. And he's we've already said this, he's only played two games this year. That was his second game, and he's already garnered that seventh defenseman spot, if you ask both of us. If anything goes wrong with any of the 6D in this series, he will be your first call no matter who it is.
3-1 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over, 3-1 win for the Tampa Bay Lightning over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We will get all the goal calls shortly. And the other thing is they now are going after the all-time record of 62 wins. The Detroit Red Wings in 95-96 set that record, Savvy. But the only little bit of asterisk I have here is Montreal Canadiens in the 1976-77 team, they were 68-12. So two things, they played two fewer games and 12 ties. They would win nine of them, you would think, right?
Oh, yeah.
In overtime or shootout. Anyway.
But, again, era. There's so many questions to be asked.
Yeah, you got
to
go with the era's 100%. They're doing it in a salary cap era, the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're doing it. It's difficult that way.
And the Montreal Canadiens did it with no salary.
Yes, that's basically it. Yes, 3-1. Tampa Bay over Toronto. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard, joined by Luke Fox from Sportsnet.ca. How you doing, Luke?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're good. We're good. And, you know, we just we'll hear from Mike Babcock later on, so I'm not sure what he said exactly. But we like the game. We like the game as far as playoff preparedness. And, you know, you like to win them, but that's a great Tampa Bay Lightning team this year. So what did you make of the game?
I thought it was a really fun game, especially for a 2-1 game. You know, the Stars came to play. I thought Steven Stamkos was absolutely fantastic on both sides of the puck. I really enjoy watching the Tampa Bay Lightning power play, the way they just zip it around. I think it's phenomenal. And Mitch Marner put on a show, as he does so many nights. But I thought he was fantastic defensively, stealing pucks, anticipating the play, and then got a nice goal, 2-on-1. 9 times out of 10, that's a guy who passes. And he kind of spoke about he tried not to look shot and tried to fool the goalie that way, and he did. And that's a tough goalie to fool. So I thought it was a fun game. You know, John, I was actually in John Cooper's scrum afterwards, and someone asked him about, you know, is this kind of resemble a playoff-type game, knowing that these two teams potentially could face in round two. And he said, and he kind of smiled and said, not even close. He's like, maybe the score, 2-1, but in terms of intensity, not even close. And these guys, you know, no one's trying to get hurt, but they are just trying to perfect their systems and get playing the right way. But in terms of, you know, actually ratcheting up the intensity and the nastiness, it wasn't quite there. But it was a really an entertaining game to watch.
Real fast is how I describe it. A lot of speed. And, yeah, the toughness and the intensity wasn't there completely. And a real thing that stood out for me tonight, Callie Rosen, you know, he got a lot of minutes, and you got to think now moving forward that if anything happens to any of that top six defensemen, he's going to be your guy stepping in. 18:39 tonight of ice time. He's looking more comfortable each and every night.
Yeah, he is. And I actually had a nice long chat with him after the morning skate, and he's, you know, he's happy as can be just to be up here. It's kind of funny in his stall, like in the home dressing room, they actually had to build a stall just for him, kind of adjacent to the actual stalls that are built right into the wall. And he says that the guys are teasing him a little bit about that, but so he has his own little place in the corner. But he absolutely loves being up here. He's like, it's a dream come true. He said, you know what? I didn't even think that like the NHL wasn't even a dream of mine until the Leafs signed me and brought me over here. Like, it wasn't even on his radar. So for him to not only be up, but like you said, contributing more minutes, and the fact that, you know, Jake Gardner definitely looked like a guy who'd been away for a while and was dealing with an injury. So, you know, knock on wood, if anything were to happen to him, it's nice to know that a guy like Rosen is getting a little bit more comfortable here.
Yeah, we were just talking earlier. It was kind of a neat first shift, Jake. Well, first they showed some highlights that his young son there with his wife, you know, in the pregame skate. And then he had kind of fun with Travis Dermott hiding his glove once when Dermott came to the bench. But that first shift, I don't know if he was used to getting that kind of a reception and welcome. And then he ends up having his most difficult shift of the game, his first shift back.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, he looked a little shaky, and he's the one thing about Jake is he's so good on his skates and just so like shifty with the, you know, they often call it the quick twitch, the way he'll fake out guys and be deceptive with where you don't know where he's going to move the puck, and he just didn't quite look as smooth as we're used to seeing him. But he did say that he will be back in the lineup for Montreal, and it was really important to him, you know, to test this out for a couple games. I'm sure he'd rather have 5 games instead of 2, but I think these are real important for him just to get those jitters out of the way, that you know, it that kind of insecure feeling when you're testing out an injury that's kept you out for a month or so. So it's really kind of good that the Leafs have been able to afford him these games that essentially don't mean anything to their place in the standings, and they can scale back his minutes if need be. But it's a little kind of test drive before it really matters.
Looking forward to the Boston Bruins, because that's everybody's talking about here in Toronto. I think that in order for them to be successful in this series, obviously Freddie Anderson's going to have to be spectacular behind them. But I think a key cog is going to have to be Nazem Kadri in that 3-hole. Can you tell us what's going on with Naz and if it was just a maintenance kind of daytime for him?
Yeah, absolutely maintenance. Babcock called it a boo-boo. So I don't think that's too serious of an injury concern. I'm not a doctor, but a boo-boo sounds like something that'll be healed in time for the Boston series. It's interesting because, you know, we don't see Hainsey or Marlowe, some of the older guys that you might think from the outside need the day off, but maybe Nas needs some time off, needs a rest. Maybe he does have a little something. You know, we're glad it has nothing to do with the concussion he suffered earlier in the year, but it's been a really interesting season for him. You know, when they signed Tavares, it was like, look at the center depth. You know, this team is going to be, you know, off the charts up the middle. But Nas has kind of struggled to find his role. I really felt like he had a niche last year playing the second line, being the shutdown guy. And I think he needs a purpose. He needs an assignment to be effective. So one thing that should be positive for Leafs is he always gets geared up for the Bruins. And as long as he, you know, rides that line of not getting carried away like he did last playoff series, I think that could be kind of a line matchup, that third line. I know the Bruins got, I think, Charlie Coyle playing the center on the third line right now. I think that third line could be really meaningful because the top six could end up canceling each other out. I mean, that's where all the superstars are. But if those are a draw, then a lot of you know, focus and pressure will come to what Kadri can do with his line mates.
So a boo-boo, what, does he spray it with Bactine and a Flintstone bandage or something? I mean, that's like those old commercials.
Yeah.
Well, it's that. Anyway, Luke, hey, thanks for coming on the fly. I know you're going to be a real busy guy, not just with the Leafs, but everything going on. Catch him on sportsnet.ca. Always excellent. And the volume and the quality, always excellent. Thanks for joining us today.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Take care, buddy.
Luke Fox joining us from Scotiabank Arena, of course, sportsnet.ca. 3-1 win for the Tampa Bay Lightning over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll hear from Mike Babcock in a few minutes' time. We always hear the goals. And again, we worry about Joe Bowen's voice, but it ratchets up more for Leaf calls. The Leafs seem to be helping him out because they're not giving him so many goals of late. But it's actually in what turned out to be a very entertaining game. And one reason why is the Leafs have a 1-0 goal for a while because they strike first.
At the blue line, here is McDonough holding it, and it's knocked off a stick to center, and the Leafs push it ahead. Here's Marner in on the left side. Score! Draw Marnier finds the back of the net, and it is goal number 26 and his 93rd point.
There we go. Mitch Marner, Grand Marnier, his 26th goal from Hyman at 4:41. And talk about the goal. And you also liked what you saw as far as Mitch Marner went after he scored.
Yeah, we've talked about this at length during the season. And Mitch Marner gets a beauty here down the wing and holds and shoots when John Tavares is sneaking in the backside. I kind of thought he was going to move it, but he picks a spot, gets his career best 26th goal of the year. But the excitement after Gores, not the cool dude kind of Sam McKee look, just kind of prancing in here like he runs the show. He just kind of like had a nice celebration, yeah. Got excited. I like to see that.
Yeah, Sam could show some emotion too at times. He could learn from that.
I'm saying.
Yeah, about acting cool all the time. Well, Mitch Marner, it's cool to have a 1-0 lead over the Tampa Bay Lightning, that's for sure. The Leafs led after one period of play. They were outshot 12-9 by the Lightning. And then the second period, and I was listening, and Jim Ralph was just talking about the Tampa Bay Lightning with 10 shorthanded goals, how they do everything right. And honestly, he just said that, and boom.
Riley with a shot, no one in front of the net. Easy save and a lead pass. And here's a chance on the breakaway now for Stamkos. Stop, scores! Anderson got a piece of it, but it trickled out of his glove and just over the line. And Steven Stamkos has his first shorthanded goal to go along with 19 power play goals. And this game is tied at one.
Yeah, Steven Stamkos, a shorthanded goal from McDonough at the 5:37 mark. And, you know, it used to be a fourth line guy's kind of killed penalties. That's a long time ago. Now it's your best players are out there, and that's an example of one of your best players being out there.
Yeah, he was cheating a little offensively there, but he gets his 44th year. And I can remember a time early in the season, Stamkos through 20 games, Gord, he was at like 11 points in 20 games. And now, all of a sudden, with his 44th goal this evening and his 53rd assist to go along with that, if my math's correct, that's 97 points with one more game to play. A fantastic season for Steven Stamkos. And the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, great job on your math works as well, as it was 1-1 after two periods of play. Shots on goal in the second period, the Leafs outshot Tampa Bay 9-8. And then period number three, we thought there was going to be a overtime looming large, like the great Danny Gallivan used to say. Of course, he would say it for playoffs back then, but the 14-12 mark.
Gauthier gets to center, but can't get it ahead to find Moore. Back come the Lightning and across the line with Killorn to the right wing side. Stamkos back to Killorn, scores!
There we go. Andrew Killorn, or Killorn, I don't know. Killorn, I'll go with Joe's call. 18th from Stamkos and Sergachev at the 14-12 mark.
I'm going to go with Killorn. I think these guys change their names every year. He wanted to be called Killhorn this year. What? But anyways, it's Killorn for me, his 18th of the year. And again, there's Stamkos with his 53rd assist from another young gun, Sergachev, a big-time defenseman who they got from Montreal. This team's built and built to win now, Gord, and they were up 2-1, and it looks like that's what they did again tonight. Like you said, one game short of an all-time winning record. Do you know who they play their last game against?
Tampa Bay Lightning. That's a good question. I was just looking up. Sorry, I'll find out.
Yeah.
It does, because I was looking up, basing it on the other teams that are vying for the playoff spot. I was looking at Carolina, Montreal. That doesn't answer the question, though. Okay, we will carry on.
We'll get you that information, though.
Yeah, we'll get it to
I think they play Boston.
They play Boston?
Yeah, I think it's Boston.
At 1 o'clock. Boston at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Thanks very much, Sam McKee. You showed some emotion, too. You see that?
Well, it's Poppy.
Yeah.
He's
no,
Poppy
I know.
Now,
I know.
See?
Like, just he's a little Mitch Marner in him.
Got to give him a little poke.
Okay, let's
Don't
hear
poke the bear, though.
Let's hear the God, every game seems to be an empty net goal. I guess that's what you do. I don't know. I hate the game ending on an empty net goal and having a two-goal difference.
Empty netters add up, though, when you know
well,
they add
do.
Up in your wallet.
Well, they can, yeah. Yeah, they can. If you
just ask Zach Hyman this year.
Here we are. Let's hear. This time it's not Zach Hyman. It's the other team.
Pushed ahead at center and to the line and out, and with an empty net off the post and in, off both posts and in.
When bounces are going well, Gord, his 126th point of the season, a terrific year. I don't know how you turn him away from the heart this year or whatever. He wins a scoring title. He's going to have three awards in his back pocket, Nikita Kucherov. Do you agree?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny, that empty netter, right? It just hit both posts. It looked like the Leafs were going to get the luck.
For his 40th.
And then it slides in, just came in that way. So he gets it. Taking a look at the shots on goal, they outshot the Tampa Bay Lightning 30-29. So that close. They lose the game 3-1. And let's hear from head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs after their 3-1 loss, Mike Babcock.
Feeling pretty good about your club, Mike, despite the result and how they played here tonight against a really good team.
Yeah, that was a good game, to tell you the truth. I mean, I'm disappointed we turned the puck over there. I don't know how many minutes were left, 7 or 6 or whatever it was left. I thought we had a good game. That shift, we had turned it over a couple of times already, and in the end we paid for it. We had some good chances ourselves in the third period. I didn't think either team gave up very much. I thought it was a good defensive game, and I thought it was a high-level game, to be honest with you, checking-wise for both teams, 2 days before the playoffs or two games.
Evaluate when Jake did out there tonight.
I thought he was really good. I mean, obviously he hasn't played in 5 weeks, but he made lots of plays, and he creates space and makes forwards better and didn't give up anything, so it was good.
What do you see from Mitch in a game like this?
Well, I thought he was a star. I thought he was really good. So he's a good hockey player, makes good plays. He plays without the puck really, really well. And so in these big games, he's always in the right spot and knows how to play.
How much peace of mind does it give you as a coach knowing that Gardner's back now?
A lot of help, but also Rosen. If you've been watching, Rosen's been good too. And so that gives you an option you didn't know. You never know when the guy comes. You see him skate. You see his points. You're hoping that he's going to be good. I've liked him, and I think as he gets comfortable, he'll use his legs more. He's a real good skater. Probably his gaps aren't quite what they're going to be as he gets more comfortable. So I've been impressed with him. His ability on the offensive blue line and his ability to move the puck, he's been good, and he hasn't been a liability defensively.
That changed the way you can look playoff-wise? Because you have three pairs now as opposed to when you have 2+1.
Well, that's what you're hoping for, right? You know, and so we got another game here against Montreal, and you know, so we'll find out more and then get ready. And you know, you always need extra bodies at playoff time. That's just the way it is.
Speaking of extra bodies, you're without two of your guys tonight. What are the chances in Montreal you'll have your full lineup?
I won't have a full lineup, just precautionary. I won't have those guys. We're not playing either one of them. Both those guys are playing, so no one needs to write big stories about it or anything like that. You know, one's sick, one's got, I don't know what you say, a boo-boo. You know, they're fine.
To see a young defenseman that can go across the blue line diagonally, the way Rosen seems to do with the puck.
Well, he's obviously a real good skater, and what I like about him, and not just his skating, he seems to be able to get a shot through. So, I mean, he's a good hockey player, it appears. Now, obviously, let's watch him.
There you go. Don't write certain stories and a boo-boo. Like you said, Mike Babcock talking about tonight's game. You know, just a lot of things, too. I'm not even saying it's white noise. Look, it's what everyone's saying. Bring on the playoffs. Get everyone healthy. Bring on the playoffs.
Tell them Babs sent you.
Tell them Babs sent you.
Let's go.
That's a commercial.
Let's go. It's playoff time, Gord. It's playoff time. You know, no one wants to see these last couple of games. Let's go. Boston's up 3-0 against Minnesota. Let's go.
We're going to talk about the out-of-town scoreboard. So just quickly, what it could mean is with Carolina winning tonight, Montreal not. So Columbus just has to get 1 point. They play in New York against the Rangers on Friday, in Ottawa on Saturday. I know. And so unfortunately,
but those are the teams that scare you.
And it's on the road. It's on the road. They're both
on the
games.
Road
and
for
Columbus
both.
Have been doing great at home. But so Montreal, unfortunately, that game may not matter on Saturday night. The way things went to Carolina, by the way, in the playoffs. Phenomenal.
Special,
Carolina Hurricanes
special season
in the playoffs, and a great run for them. But anyway, that part, we'll talk about the game and more about the out-of-town scoreboard as well. You already mentioned Boston, 3-0 winners over the Minnesota Wild, so we'll chat about that. But it is time for our Direct Energy Home Services hardest-working Leaf performer of the game, and some pretty decent performances. You got to pick one.
There really was. And I was looking here and you caught me a little off guard. I thought we were going to go to a break and then come back. But you know what?
Evidently we didn't.
If you're going to hold me to it right now,
I don't know. We usually do it in this segment.
I'm ready to deliver.
Okay. Well, you're talking slowly, so you're not really ready.
And I'm going to go with what Babcock said. He was a star. He's a star and he played like it tonight. He was
Grand
flying.
Marnier?
Grand Marnier is right. Mitchell Marner. One goal, minus one, 20 minutes and 34 seconds of ice time, four shots scored, two giveaways, three takeaways, two blocks, and even won a draw tonight, 1-0. Mitchell Marner, the
Direct Energy Home Services,
hardest working Toronto Maple Leafs. Sorry.
Yeah.
I had a brain cramp there.
Yeah, no problem. Easy for you to say.
Thinking about my son
for
Saturday.
Well, we're excited about that. The OHL draft on Saturday in the Savard household. We're excited about one more game Saturday as well. We'll talk about how draft day went in your household and everybody can relax a little bit. And on that exciting day, son's birthday as well.
Son's birthday. What a special day.
Well, it'll be the final regular season game for the Maple Leafs as well. We'll be on with Leafs Nation post game right after that on Saturday. A 3-1 win for the Tampa Bay Lightning over the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. You're listening to Leafs Nation post game brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Blue and white at night. We own the night. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard. Sam McKee, the producer, technical assistants, Andrew Holland here on the airwaves. A Toronto Maple Leaf 3-1 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Not a great night for Toronto teams. Of course, the Blue Jays almost no hit by the Cleveland Indians. And then we're on afterwards, the game that went on Scotiabank Arena. Later on, we will hear from a bevy of Toronto Maple Leaf players, including Jake Gardner. Welcome back after his first game back with the Maple Leafs. Missed like about 15 games or so with injury, out for quite a long period of time.
Yeah, Jake had the bad back. And
I know.
Was it his back?
Yeah.
Well, you're around him more often than anybody else.
I was not tending to his back when you get, but yeah, I've always been big on Jake Gardner, you smart ass. Yeah. And that's basically it. So good to have him back today. And Nazem Kadri, Jake Muzzin not playing. And as I said, Mike Babcock said one was a boo-boo in Kadri's case, and Jake Muzzin, that flu bug. Andreas Janssen had the flu bug, and you just Zach Hyman had the flu bug. Yeah, you hope it runs its course before the playoffs
start. That's
where
I was headed with that. And you hope also, too, on the Kadri front, you hope it's not his noggin, Gord.
Yeah.
His head, because he's had a couple of issues this year with his head. So let's just hope it's not that, and they are little boo-boos, maybe a paper cut. And speaking of that, you got a guy, and I, sorry, this is totally off topic today, but I woke up and I, very not very emotional, but just very touched to see Craig Cunningham skating around with that prosthetic.
Yeah.
Like I was just I felt good. I had chills because, you know, that's a guy I went through a lot, but I can't even imagine what he's gone through for your career to end the way it did. And then to keep driving and joining the Arizona office, front office, and doing some work there. And then skating on this prosthetic skate. It's on Twitter, on my Twitter, at MSavvy91. It's really a thing. It's spectacular.
Yeah, I have it at Gord Stelick as well. Cause I think everybody retweeted it. So, but it's you look at it and you kind of go, what? And then you say, cause it looks so effortless and so fluid. And of course, Craig Cunningham's the young man playing for the Tucson team in the American Hockey League. And basically it's an incredible story. If you read it, that there happened to be first responders by coincidence were the bagpipers for the anthem. So they started giving him medical attention right away. The story even gets more unbelievable that literally the Tucson doctors they got a hold of the top cardiac person, happened to be in town, picked up something at his own hospital, went to the hospital where they took Craig Cunningham, did something that he'd only ever done to four other patients ever.
Wow.
That experimental. Like he crashed about 12 times. 12 times he crashed.
Wow.
And they had to bring his heart back. And this guy had, you know, something that kept him going. Like, unbelievable. Like,
and
it's
that
just
was due to a blood clot in his leg?
There was a heart disease component to whatever it may be.
Okay.
No, it was something pretty serious, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's just an incredible set of circumstances that had happened there. So to see where he is now, out there, you know, playing some shinny by himself, taking some shots, that's an incredible, incredible spot in the journey that he's at.
Fantastic. And to wake up to this morning, and if you guys want to follow him too, it's @HeartCraig. It's just, like I said, I'm almost speechless right now, because when I woke up and saw this morning, he's actually in shorts too, skating, just so you can get a really good glance at the prosthetic skate foot. It's amazing.
Yeah. And working in the Arizona Coyotes front office now, which is great. The other thing is, just before we do that, at Town Scores, then, so Taping Twigs as well. I know you're back at a couple more episodes. One of your great buddies.
I had a really spectacular one. I am going to tap my own shoulder, little Mike Babcock-esque, little tap on the back. But I did Jerome Iginla, finally, the retired Jerome Iginla, the Calgary Flame. I did Taping Twigs. Really awesome. And another special touch. What people have been asking about, they asked me for it last year, but I did it this year. What's in the bag? The boys in the background there, I know they love it. What's in the golf bag? I got it on my YouTube. It's awesome. It's TaylorMade. I don't use anything else but TaylorMade, but it's a really fun one, Gordon. There's a lot of laughs. And there's even a couple comedy errors in there where I toss a couple rolls of tape. My wife's not too pleased with me. I took down a couple candles. Mm. And she wasn't very happy.
That's
but all it was a lot of fun.
That's it. You got to tell her. It's a dangerous thing when you're out there doing live television. So they can find that where?
At MSavvy91. It's on YouTube.
Okay.
At MSavvy91. And yeah, the ending is all about golf and everything I'm carrying in my golf bag this season. I don't know if it'll last. I got some issues. If I hit a bad shot, usually I go to the garage and grab another club. But this is what I'm starting the season with anyway.
Okay, well, sounds good, and look forward to that. Now we're going to get at the out-of-town scoreboard. First, we'll do the finals, then games in progress. Tough one, boy. Washington 2, Montreal 1. Well, I'll read them off, then we'll go back to them. Pittsburgh still needed this. They're in the playoffs now. They needed a point. They got two tonight. They beat Detroit 4-1. Boy, the New York Islanders 2-1 in a shootout over the Florida Panthers. Buffalo beats Ottawa 5-2. I think there were probably tickets available for that game. Carolina, huge win for them. They are in the playoffs. So the longest drought, I think it's 9 years. They're the active NHL team, the longest drought not being in the playoffs. So congratulations to Donnie Waddell.
Don't Rod wash Brindavar, that turtleneck, Donnie.
Yeah,
it's lucky.
Rick Dudley, Tom Dundon, the owner, all getting in. Of course, all the players. That was key, to say the least. The St. Louis Blues beat the Philadelphia Flyers 7-3. That's how you like to be doing it when you're heading into the playoffs. Nashville 3-2 win over Vancouver. Boston 3-0 shutout over the Minnesota Wild. Games in progress right now. San Jose leads Edmonton 3-2. That's in the second period. Winnipeg, they want to get a little bit of, they want to get first place, and Colorado wants to get in the playoffs after two periods of play. This is a big game. It's 2-1. Winnipeg leads Colorado after two. Arizona and Vegas tied 1-1 after one. That's also a huge game. What has especially caught your eye, Mr. Savard?
Well, what's really stood out to me right now is all you poolies out there, take a little information from me.
Okay.
Out west, you got your Winnipeg, you got your Nashvilles, you got your Vegas Golden Knights. Load up on your St. Louis Blues, please. They got the Nashville Predators in the first round, an unproven Pekka Rinne in the playoffs. I like St. Louis, and I like them to go deep. And not only because Craig Berube is my friend, Gord, as we know, I just really like the way he's got these guys playing. They're not the fastest team, but they're big. They grind you out down low, and they get a lot of shots on net. So I really like them moving into the playoffs. For you Poolies, thank me later. And Montreal, just a tough, tough loss tonight. 2-1 in Washington. And
you know who had the tough giveaway as well?
Oh,
Paul Byron.
Did he?
Yeah, you know, he's back from injury and that. Just one of those things, tough giveaway inside. By the way, St. Louis, before we move on, Alexander Steen had 2 goals. He's got 10. He's been hurt this season.
They've had a lot of injuries too.
So all of a sudden, he's another guy they add. If he gets going for the Stanley Cup playoffs, that offensive power that you're telling everyone to thank you for later on.
And then obviously we got to talk about,
people can't figure out 7 goals means you have a lot of offensive power. But anyway, we thank you for the tip.
It can't get any better with our boy Phil Kessel tonight. He scored a goal and everybody in the rink got a Big Mac.
It's a 2 minute, which, you know what? I think it's not meant to be on a power play, but it happened to fall when it's on a power play. So they put it up there and you get a free Big Mac and it's not in the 2 minutes and Phil scored and the crowd starts chanting. Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Phil.
And he got another one. So he's hoping he gets two for himself. Anyway, that was a funny one. And then, yeah, really, that's it. The Carolina Hurricanes, you nail it. Boston Bruins, Marchand not in the lineup, taking a boo-boo day himself. They win 3-0 against the Minnesota Wild. Your boy, Bruce Boudreau.
Yeah, you know, they had a nice win against Winnipeg the other night, but they also got eliminated too. So it's like what you're finding now, Savvy, is so many postmortems. Minnesota, Chicago, you know, kind of as they fall, Edmonton, as they formerly fall by the wayside, teams that came close.
I hate to touch on it too, postmortems, but what about coaches around the league going to lose maybe their tenures in some cities?
Well, there were a lot of movement during the season, which was really, you know, and I think unfortunately for coaches that maybe are on the bubble right now, they tended to go positive, like your buddy Craig Berube, you know, that thing. So,
but like I'm talking, you know, your friend Bruce Boudreau, we hate to see it happen, but he'll get work as he always does. Bob Bugner in Florida, does he survive a summer? Does he get an opportunity with a revamped Florida roster? I mean, his record's still above 500. He was 36-32, I believe, going into tonight. Is that enough to get him another year? I think his contract says it does. And then what about in Ottawa? Does Mark Crawford, he's done a nice job here to finish out the season. Does he get another chance?
I mean, Ottawa is so screwed up. But first of all, answer your question, yes, I would hire Mark Crawford in Ottawa. Like, you know, he's from the Belleville area. He's got a great head coaching experience. There seems to be a good vibe, you know, going on there with the players right now. I would say yes.
Yeah.
I would say absolutely yes. But Bugner in trouble. Tortorella catches a break that it looks like they're, you know, well, if they lose the next two games, Montreal wins. Ouch.
Phil Housley?
I think he's going to stay. I think because...
Do you?
You know, the Buffalo Sabres, so what, they won tonight, right? So they... I think they've got 7 more wins than last year. Okay. That's not bad. The problem was they were killing it. They were like number 2 in the East. And that's the expectation Sabre fans have. Like you look at it and you go, look how much we've improved being Buffalo, but they're pissed, you know, so I think Phil Housley survives.
Okay.
Them.
Willie Desjardins, Ken Hitchcock.
Oh, Hitchcock gone. Yeah. Willie Desjardins, doubtful.
Gone.
Yeah.
And then you got your Anaheim, the GM's behind the bench right now. So
somebody new.
Someone new. So, there's going to be a lot of movement in this summer. And let's make a little bet here, me and you, while we got a couple seconds.
Okay.
Where does Joel Quenneville go? Where does he decide to make his next nest?
Well, the other part is there could be one team that exits four straight, just like the Toronto Raptors last year when a coaching change didn't look like it was imminent and comes to the forefront because of that. So that could be the type of team that might want a Joel Quenneville that disappointed. But it'll be interesting. You know, DJ Smith, does he get a chance?
Like, I hope he does.
He's ranked one of the top assistant coaches, of course, with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
You know why I hope he gets a chance? Not only for that, my good friend Jay McKee, the head coach of the Kitchener Rangers in the OHL. I'd like, there's some sputtering there that he might take over the back end if DJ moves on, which I think he's going to do, which would be really nice for him.
Look at that.
Yeah, and if you're not going to step up and say where you think Quenneville's going to end up, I am.
Okay.
I think he wouldn't mind going down and catching some rays, Gordon. He might take that Panthers team over with a new set of players, maybe a Bobrovsky.
A goalie.
And a Panarin.
Yeah.
Maybe Joel Quenneville wants to lay by the pool during the season.
Okay. Would be nice. He would take his buddy Mike Kitchen, who used to be in Florida. So that would be nice for Kitch, too. Well, we've got the coaching situation figured out. We've got the game figured out. We're going to hear from the different players who were involved in tonight's game. It'd be nice to hear from Jake Gardner as well about things. That was still strange, William Nylander last game. I'm sorry. Like, about knowing he was offside and
That really bothered you. Well, I had to talk you through it.
Yeah, well, just, like, hey, man, the guy's got to do something with less.
It was effort. He's got it. You know what?
Again,
tonight. And before we go, tonight, go ahead. But you know what's nice about the playoffs? Even though this season is over, it's a new season for these guys. If William Nylander goes out and gets 10 points in six games in the first series, good year.
Yeah.
Good year for Willie.
Well, one more to go against Montreal, but we'll come back. We'll hear. Maybe Willie is one of the guys we hear from. We'll find out.
A 3-1 of the lamb.
A 3-1 win for the Tampa Bay Lightning over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Scott Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Breaking down what's up.
What's up?
This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Yes, we welcome you back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Scott Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. A 3-1 win for the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight over the Toronto Maple Leafs at Scotiabank Arena. Third goal was an empty netter, so it was a 1-0 lead the Toronto Maple Leafs had on a goal by Mitch Marner. A Steven Stamkos shorthanded goal tied it up. Alex Killorn scores the game-winning goal late in the third period, and then Nikita Kucherov adds an empty net goal to make it 3-1. It was a very entertaining, good, get-you-kind-of-ready-for-playoff type hockey, even though John Cooper said it wasn't anywhere near playoff intensity in one sense, because the intensity gets going when you go game in, game out against the same team. But it had some pop to it. It had some zip, and it had kind of that playoff feel on the ice. Real positive for the Maple Leafs, even though they lost, was the return of Jake Gardner on the blue line. 16 minutes, 51 seconds of ice time. Did not get any shots on goal. Got a real nice ovation when he was out for his first shift. And then that first shift, he had the Jake Guardian struggles, which he is prone to have from time to time. But it's good to have number 151 back, so he'll get a second game on Saturday. A little bit rusty, but he'll be back. He's played well. Well, I shouldn't say last year, Game 7, everyone's hanging that on him against Boston, but he's had some strong playoff appearances. The first time they played Boston 5 years ago, he was really strong in that series, but he's back. Let's hear from Jake Gardner postgame.
How did it go? Right from the opening shift, it seemed as it went on, you had your confidence, you felt a little more limber and patient with the puck. How did you see it?
Haynes was laughing at me after the first shift because I think I touched it four times. And not exactly how I planned the first shift out, but once I got into the game, it felt pretty good.
What was the toughest part for you, Jake?
The timing's always off a little bit, whether to stand up or get back. But I thought it was a lot easier transition than I expected. Yeah, for sure. It's I think it would have been tough to go into into Boston and not played a game, so I'm glad I was able to do this and then Saturday.
Do you feel at all that you were being cautious at any point, or was it just going for it?
Maybe a little bit, but I think that's just how it is in your first game, and just build on it and keep going.
How did you see tonight's game overall?
I thought we played pretty well. I mean, that goalie's really good over there. We had some good chances, and they got to bounce there at the end.
So better than expected. Do you feel like one more game, then you'll be basically kind of where you want to be going into the playoffs?
Yeah, that's the hope. Or as close as I can be. Yep.
Then a matter of managing yourself. I mean, with a full week to go, like from tonight at least, sufficient enough time to get you going.
Yeah, exactly. It's an extra week is, you know, it's a big difference right now. So hopefully it's 100% by then.
Jerry, given that you didn't know if you were going to be back, I mean, what's the feeling that you kind of, you are back?
It's exciting. I'm, you know, some relief. I want to help this team go as far as we possibly can in this playoff run. And it's always tough when you're sitting out with an injury and you're not sure if you're going to be able to get back. And now that I am, it's a pretty good feeling. Yeah, I mean, I think we're really ready. It's every PP meeting, every basically all aspects. You know, we say, oh, this is what Boston's going to do, and we just got to be ready for that.
How impressed was Henry to see his dad on the ice in the warm?
I'm not impressed at all. I don't think we didn't make eye contact, so it's I don't have to work on that at home.
Yeah, that nice ask by Paul Hendrick at the end of Jake Gardner, his young son Henry, who's, I don't know, 4 months old, 5 months old, so it's pretty cool. 3 months old even. Anyway, there, and was his wife was happy to see him on the ice. He had the big Maple Leaf earphones they have for little babies that are at the game. That was a nice pregame warm-up side. Nice having Jake Gardner in the lineup for the Maple Leafs. Auston Matthews, always nice having him in the lineup. Kind of a strange one again. I mean, the line is just not scoring goals. Nylander just not fitting in. Auston Matthews looking great, looking like a man possessed, though. And tonight, he had 6 shots on net. He had 6 of the Maple Leaf 30 shots on net. He played 19 minutes, 2 seconds of ice time, but he's a -2 again. And he wasn't on for the empty netter. So -2, Auston Matthews. Here he is after the 3-1 loss.
The effort here tonight, is this something to build upon moving ahead toward next week, do you think, Austin?
Yeah, I thought pretty good hockey game overall. I thought we did a lot of good things, especially early on, and for the most part took care of the puck. So it's obviously frustrating not coming out with 2 points, but you know, we played a good hockey team, and overall I thought we did a pretty good job.
What's it like seeing Jake?
I mean, it's great. I thought... you know, he stepped right in early, and I mean, he made plays. Obviously, I'm sure there's going to be rust, but it's fun being out there with him. He sees the ice well, and he makes plays, and it's fun to be out there with a guy like that. And you know, obviously, he's just going to keep getting better and better the more games he plays. But I see everybody in this locker room is really happy to have him back.
Good to see Freddie get sort of back in his rhythm a little bit.
He came up big for us, a couple big saves there. I mean, I think when you play a team like this, obviously you're gonna, you know, play shifts in your own end. They're a good hockey team, and I thought we did a pretty good job you know, most of the time keeping them on the outside. And obviously Freddie came up with some big saves, and I mean, a couple of mistakes, obviously the power play, and then a tough change where they're coming in on an odd man rush. I mean, we can't fault him on that. That's on us. So just a couple of mistakes, but all in all, I thought for the most part we played well, and obviously some big saves by him.
Kasper is looking for that 20th goal. Do you sense an uptick in his tenacity in the way he's playing?
I mean, he's shooting and he's got chances. I mean, I'm sure it's frustrating, I think, for all three of us tonight. I thought we had a lot of really, really good chances and weren't able to capitalize on them. And, I mean, that's a really good goalie in that other net. So, you know, sometimes you got to tip your hat. But obviously, you know, for all three of us, when you get those chances, you want to be able to capitalize on them. So we got one more game here in Montreal. They're going to be a hungry team, and we got to be ready to play from the start.
What do you think of the series, the 2 games played down there, the game here tonight, and throw away that other one when you guys came back from Western Canada?
I mean, all in all, pretty good. I don't remember which one was first, but I mean, the game that we had like 50 shots, and Just couldn't capitalize. And then that second game, I think we ended up winning, and it was a good game all around. And we had everybody going that night. Like you said, throw away the third. And I mean, we hung in there with these guys. And I mean, tonight could have been anybody's game.
There you go. Boy, oh boy. That's right. Kasperi Kapanen looking for goal number 20. And being on an entry-level contract, I think that's one of those that kicks in like a $200,000 bonus. And he's just been struggling forever, it seems, on that. That's Austin Matthews. And, you know, you're getting a lot now that the players and the media would just like to get on with the playoffs, right? They're just, it's the same old when you're chatting after a game. Let's bring the playoffs on. But it was a 3-1 win over the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. The only goal, Mitch Marner. He was also Savvy's Direct Energy Home Services hardest working Leaf player of the game. He picked up a goal. He was minus one, four shots on net, 20 minutes, 34 seconds of ice time. Here is Joe Bowen's Grand Marnier, Mitch Marner.
Would you classify that as one of the club's better games here tonight, despite the result?
Yeah, I thought we played well. We didn't make many mistakes, but again, we got to stop making mistakes. People are scoring on them, so we got to clean some things up. But I thought our team played well together tonight.
It's a Vezina Kennedy goal you beat. What did you see on that sequence to know that there was space there?
I've done it a couple times in practice against Fred and Sparksy, and I never really shoot onto him once, so I thought I'd try it. Usually, that's a hard save for goalies. I wasn't trying to look at him, so he couldn't really see where I was looking. I luckily got through him.
How good is he, partner back?
That's great. Yeah, he brings a lot to this team. He's a guy we rely on defensively and offensively, so it was nice seeing him back out on the ice, and, he brings a lot to this squad.
Mitch, the club gets ready, at least you guys, for your third straight year in the postseason. Can you see yourselves playing like this, as you did on the island, pretty much every second night, especially given what lies ahead next week?
We need to. I mean, we know who we're playing. We know how hard they work. It's going to be a series of, inches. It's not going to be a lot given from either team. Like I said, we got to stop giving up these odd man rushes and these chances against, these players are going to score on us. So. But I think the other way, when we get our chances, we got to put them in as well.
Individually, guys want to be at their best by playoff time. Do you feel individually like you're playing at the highest level?
Yeah, I feel good. I mean, I think our team's got to find our rhythm quickly. I think, we've had these games where we've been very, very well and very good defensively and offensively and not giving up much. And then we've had those games where it just kind of blows up and we got to get on track. We got to make sure every game against this in this series is going to be not a lot given up on the D side. And like I said, we're playing a team that's got a lot of firepower and they'll score on your chances.
Mitch Marner talking about tonight's 3-1 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning and the unflappable one. Played great. Shots on goal, 30-29. The Maple Leafs outshot the Tampa Bay Lightning, actually, but some great scoring chances for Tampa Bay. And Freddie Anderson, a solid job. Here he is after the 3-1 loss.
What do you think of your club's effort in front of you here tonight in a very entertaining, tight, competitive hockey game?
Yeah, it was a good game. I think both teams played well. Didn't give up too much, and they got their one extra goal. So, but overall, pretty good effort by us.
What'd you see in Cord's shot there?
Yeah, I mean, I think he went to go low. It looks like he was gonna put a little bit more weight into it, and sailed over everyone in far side. So. I don't know if he intended to do that, but it's for this.
How do you feel about your game overall, though, Freddie? Some pretty big saves.
Yeah, I feel good. I feel nice and calm and aggressive as well at the same time. So, tough bounce in that breakaway. Was close to making the save, but trickled in. So, it was fortunate momentum change where we had the power play going and obviously couldn't. I can score and they got ahead. Or tied it up.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry. Well, it's great. I think he did well. He's a big part of our team where he moves the puck so well and skates really good with the puck as well. So that's important for us that he's going and playing at 100%. And obviously, I think he looked pretty good today.
Start a week tonight. How important is Saturday in Montreal as a stepping stone for you to bridge yourself to that next game?
Yeah, and this could be another good game. Hopefully, we can keep improving and keep keep building off the type of hockey we've been playing, and I think sure we can play play great and play well and play patient against a good team like tonight, and it's going to be a good way to keep doing that throughout the playoffs.
Well, Freddie Anderson, and certainly this week, has just reinforced, you can talk about Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews, John Tavares, Morgan Rielly, whatever. This guy is the most important guy. This guy is the guy the Leafs can least afford to get injured in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So for the Stanley Cup playoffs, that being Freddie Anderson, a solid effort tonight. He will get the start Saturday when they take on the Montreal Canadiens for their final regular season game. We'll have Leafs Nation postgame right after that game on Saturday. When we come back, we'll play the goal calls. We'll hear from Mike Babcock. We'll head down to Scotiabank Arena, talk to Luke Fox. That and much more coming up. 3-1 win for the Tampa Bay Lightning over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.